Hi, my name is Anne-Marie Lennon, and I'm the director of the Pancreatic Cyst Clinic here at Johns Hopkins.
And I'm Elizabeth Tracy. Thanks so much for joining me today. We're going to be talking about pancreatic cysts. Gosh, that sounds already like some jargon. Why don't we define that?
A cyst is a fluid-filled, often circular object which is found in the pancreas. There are different types of cysts. A cyst can simply be like a balloon filled with water, or sometimes they can have septations. They are divided into smaller cysts. Instead of having one cyst, you've got three or four within the same cyst.
Before we even start talking about pancreatic cysts, why don't we back up a whole long way and talk about the pancreas itself? Because I think most of us, we have some idea of what our stomachs are and our hearts are and our lungs are, but gosh, the pancreas, it's kind of mysterious.
So the pancreas is an organ which sits at the top of your tummy. It sits just behind your stomach, and it has two functions. The first function is that it generates enzymes which help you digest your food. And the second thing it does is it produces hormones, for example, insulin, which allows you to regulate the sugar in your body.
And why would someone develop cysts in their pancreas?
So that's a great question. There are different types of pancreatic cysts. The commonest type of cyst that we have is a thing called a pseudocyst, and that accounts for between 60 to 80% of pancreatic cysts that we see. They occur in people who have pancreatitis, either acute pancreatitis, for example, if you have gallstones that move down your bile duct and block the pancreatic duct, or in people who drink a little bit much, they can get pseudocysts following them. However, in people who we see, the vast majority of people have an incidental finding of a pancreatic cyst. And what I mean by that is that they underwent tests, for example, a CAT scan or an MRI scan, for an entirely different reason. And they just happen to find this pancreatic cyst. And in these type of people, the likelihood that the pancreatic cyst is a pseudocyst is very unlikely. We could divide our cysts into two different types, and we divide them by the type of fluid within the cyst. We have one type which are watery, which we call serous cysts, and a second type which we call mucinous cysts, and that means that the fluid within the cyst is very thick and gloopy. Serous cysts are common in ladies. These can be very small or can grow to very large sizes, maybe 10 centimeters or so. Serous cysts are what we would consider benign. It's very rare that they develop into a cancer. Therefore, if you have a serous cyst, we just watch them, and unless they get very big and cause problems, there's no need for surgery. The other type of cysts are the mucinous cysts. They are precancerous. The small number of them can develop into cancer. One of the commonest types of mucinous cysts that we see is a thing called an intraductal papillary mucinous neoplasm. That's an absolute mouthful, so we call it an IPMN. And this is a very new type of cyst. It was first described in 1980 in Japan. So for medicine, the fact that it's only been around for 30 years is very new and modern. There are different types of IPMNs. This is a cyst where the tube or the duct that runs through the pancreas produces thick mucin, and it can affect the main duct running through the pancreas, and we call that main duct IPMN, or it can affect the small little branches that join the main pancreatic duct, which we call branch duct IPMN. And then there's a third type where it affects both the main pancreatic duct and the small side branches, which we called a mixed IPMN. Now, the reason it's very important to differentiate between these different types is that there are different risks of cancer. With a main duct IPMN, where the main tube or duct running through the pancreas is much, much bigger than it should be, studies have shown that this type of IPMN is associated with a very high risk of developing pancreatic cancer, 70%. If we are worried that a patient has this type of IPMN, then we would recommend surgery. In the other type, the branch duct IPMN, they are also precancerous, but the risk of developing cancer is much lower, up to 25%. So we have guidelines. If you're getting symptoms from the cyst, you're getting yellow jaundice, pancreatitis, then you need to consider surgery. If you're not getting that, then we look at features of the cyst. If the cyst is very large, greater than 3 centimeters, we know that the bigger the cyst gets, the higher the risk of cancer. You should consider surgery. Finally, if there is something growing within the cyst, again, that suggests that the cyst is changing and may be developing cancer, and those patients should be considered for surgery.
You described already that someone would come to this clinic because they have an incidental finding of a cyst in their pancreas. Tell me more about what subsequent testing would take place in order to define the cyst?
Okay. Currently, when we first meet a patient with a pancreatic cyst, we give them the very best imaging test that we have. We use a secretin-enhanced MRI. We also do a pancreatic protocol CAT scan with a three-dimensional reconstruction, and that means that we get a 3D view of the cyst and we can rotate it round. And finally, we do an endoscopic ultrasound, and depending on the size of the cyst, we may put a needle into the cyst to take a sample.
How troublesome are these tests to people when they're doing their follow-up?
We only do these three tests the very first time we see patients. Patients come and see us on a Wednesday. They have their CAT scan and their MRI done on a Wednesday, and they see us in clinic. On the Thursday, we do the endoscopic ultrasound. The following Tuesday, we have a multidisciplinary meeting where we have all of the pancreatic surgeons, the radiologists, the pathologists, and we sit down and we discuss every patient's case, and then we come up with a consensus opinion as to what we think is the cause of the cyst and what our recommendation is. For example, nothing further needs to be done, or we recommend that we have surveillance of the cyst, or in a very small number of people, they should consider surgery. For people who have surveillance, all we do is we follow the cyst either with a CAT scan or an MRI. The intervals that these need to be performed, again, are, we have guidelines for them. So if you have a very small cyst, less than 1 centimeter, most guidelines would recommend that you have follow-up every year. If it's between 1 to 2 centimeters, then you would have follow-up every 6 months. And if it's larger, it's every 3 to 6 months.
You've mentioned surgery a number of times.
Yes.
Let's talk more about surgery in the specific types of cysts.
We don't perform surgery unless we absolutely have to. Our job is to try and make sure that patients do not develop pancreatic cancer. Surgery depends on where the cyst is. So the pancreas is divided into three sections. At the top of the pancreas, it's called the head. The middle of the pancreas is called the body. And the end of the pancreas is called the tail. If the cyst is in the body or tail, then the surgeons perform a distal pancreatectomy. They remove either the body or tail of the pancreas and leave the rest of the pancreas. If the cyst is in the head of the pancreas, then they need to perform a procedure called a pancreaticoduodenectomy, which is also called a Whipple operation, where they have to take out the head of the pancreas along with the duodenum and do some plumbing.
Exactly. So this is a pretty tough operation and really life-altering in lots of ways.
It is a big operation, but I'm very fortunate to work with some superb surgeons. Therefore, if my patients need to go for the surgery and it will prevent them getting cancer, I'm happy to refer them for it.
Let's talk then about the relationship between these pancreatic cysts and frank pancreatic or pancreas cancer. I think the relationship between them is similar in some respects, I guess, to polyps and colon cancer.
Yes, I see them in that way, in that when I talk to my patients and I say we need to follow these or we need to perform surveillance, in many ways I see it in the same way that if you had a polyp in your colon, you would remove it, but you would go back and you would continue to follow up with a colonoscopy in 5 years or in 10 years, depending on what they found, to make sure that no further polyps had grown or it had changed. And in the same way, cysts in the pancreas are very similar, that they need to be followed or surveyed. The other thing about cysts in the pancreas, particularly these IPMNs, as I said, it's a very new disease, only described in 1980. Therefore, every couple of weeks, we're getting new studies and we're learning more and more about them. And we know from a study by Dr. Chris Icabuzio-Donahue at Johns Hopkins that pancreatic cancer develops slowly over time. The time from the first cells mutating or changing to the time that you had billions of cells which were able to identify on imaging as a cancer is approximately 7 years. We know for IPMNs that the information is also similar, because when we look at people who have IPMNs but do not have cancer, and we compare them with people with IPMNs who have developed cancer, they're approximately 7 years older. So we know that there's quite a long period between the cysts changing, and therefore this gives us an opportunity to intervene and prevent people getting pancreatic cancer.
What percentage of pancreatic cancers are related to the development of cysts?
So if we look at people who underwent surgery for pancreatic cancer, we know that between 8 to 20% of people with pancreatic cancer were due to IPMNs. we could potentially intervene and ideally prevent up to 20% of these pancreatic cancers if we catch them early enough.
So there's a caveat. How would we get people to come to the pancreas cyst clinic? If they don't have an incidental finding, is a family history a good reason to come to the clinic?
There are a very small group of people who have genetic mutations. For example, there is an illness called a BRCA1 or BRCA2 mutation where people have high risk of developing breast cancer and ovarian cancer. And we know that these people have an increased risk of pancreatic cancer. And in those type of people, you could consider performing screening, but that is only as a research tool currently. We are delighted to see anybody with a pancreatic cyst, whether it's a newly diagnosed pancreatic cyst, something that they've had for many years, or if they'd like a second opinion. We're very happy to see anybody with a family history of pancreatic cancer or the small group of patients who have these risks for developing pancreatic cancer.
Very good. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
I think that'll do it, yeah.
Okay, that'll do it. Well, then thank you so very much for your time.
Thank you very much for inviting me.